1, we'll start in verse 5. I hope that you are like John, preparing the way of the Lord for people around you. Hope that you're that one that is putting the question in someone's heart about who God is, what God is, and whether they should follow God or not. I picked this Luke chapter because it's just before the birth of Christ, but Luke is the one who prepares the way for the Lord. And as we go through this chapter 1 and look at some verses, I hope that it inspires you to be more like the folks that you saw from the Lottie Moon Christmas offering video. I hope that inspires you. That there are people that you can think of that are lost that you can share the gospel message with and deliver that message. So Luke chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "In the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron, and both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, for Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years." Were they faithful? Yeah, they were faithful. But they were fruitless. Interesting. They were faithful, but they were fruitless. Something that was a major concern to them is they had not had children. And they were not, and it was a big deal to them that they'd been faithful. We live in an age today where, you know, there's some things that are said on a regular everyday basis. Have you heard this? How's that working for you? Have you heard that? How's that working for you? I think Dr. Phil kind of uses that on a regular basis. I would call this kind of an era of selfishness. We live in an era of selfishness. If it doesn't help you, then why bother? If it's not for you, then why bother? When you look at it's sort of a land of anti-God people. And yet, in the context of this, are you faithful? Do you continue to be faithful? In the context of all that goes around you, one of the things that sort of happened in this election that we had, and I'm not politically bent, so don't read too much into what I say, but there's definitely a one side and another side. And a lot of times I felt like I've been on the wrong side. And if you get into that pattern where you feel you're on the wrong side and things aren't moving forward and you're struggling with this scenario, that's when you begin to prove your faith. It's been said that you can only prove a person is a thief if you give them an opportunity to be a thief. If you watch somebody going down the street and they drop a $100 bill on the sidewalk, what do you do? Are you the person that says, "Hey, you dropped a $100 bill"? Or are you the person that says, "Hey, more for me"? Which are you? Because in your heart, you will recognize where you stand. Zechariah and his wife were the people that were faithful to God. Even though they could have said to themselves, "He sure hasn't been faithful to me. Well, I don't have a child." If you measure your faith based on how many children you have, they probably didn't feel very loved by God. It's an interesting place to be because a lot of us have these things in our lives. A lot of these of us have these places in our lives. If we didn't get married, then God must not have felt good about me or taking care of me. If I don't get that job, then God must not be taking care of me. If I don't get through that class, then God must not be taking care of me. Faith doesn't work like that. You take your faith first. Faith first. And see what God does. Well, Elizabeth and Zechariah had been going a long time. And there was a special moment that happened in Zechariah's life. When you read verses 8 through 10, it says, once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. So, Zechariah is a priest. He serves. He's got all his priest buddies. They all talk about, hey, the lot's coming up. Maybe I'll get chosen to be the guy to go into the temple and put the incense in. And everybody's at that place where okay, so it's a holy time. Everybody gathers to have prayer, they have fasting, they have all these moments, and Zechariah is chosen by lot. Nobody chose him. In other words, it wasn't a hierarchical order. It wasn't, oh, it's your turn. It wasn't that way. It was done by lot. The same guy could have gone into the temple every single time. And Zechariah was chosen by lot to go in. It's a cool time for him. He's excited. This is a great deal. I get to do one of the most holy things I can do as a priest. He's in a good place. He gets ready to go in. Everybody is prepared and done what they need to be, doing their prayer time, doing their meditation times. They're sitting there waiting, and he goes in. Verse 11, God delivers a message. Delivers a message through an angel. Now, I'm going to tell you, this doesn't happen often. Anybody seen an angel lately? I've not seen an angel lately. Okay? These messages do not happen often. They come very rarely. So you look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Now, if an angel showed up in a place where you didn't expect him, what would your immediate reaction be? Are you like, what are you? I mean, you got to understand. This is a room that nobody goes in except for this one guy. He walks into this one room, and he gets into that room, and somebody is standing there. I don't know about you, but I'm going, wait a minute, something, this is not right. And it says in verse 12, when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. That's where I would be. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid. Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. He had this prayer in his heart. The one thing that bothered him more than anything else was the fact that he did not have anyone to carry on his name. There were no little Zechariahs running around. There was no one who would carry his lineage on. And in his culture, lineage was a big deal. You didn't want to end your line because you didn't have children. He didn't have any. The angel said to him, do not be afraid, which was important because Zechariah was afraid. And it says, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. So, cool moment. Exciting moment. God has heard the faithful person's prayer about being fruitless, and he's going to make him fruitful. But it doesn't end there. Because this isn't just, you're going to have a baby, we're so excited for you. This baby is going to be a big deal. Listen to what the angel says about this baby. He will be a joy and delight to you. Most babies are. By the way, not always. Okay, so I've raised four children. They are not always a delight. Changing diapers is not pleasant. Waking up at 3:00 in the morning to rock them to sleep and then having them scream at you for 2 hours because I don't know what's going on. And you don't know. It's not always a delight. But in the end, this child will be a delight to Zechariah and Elizabeth. And many will rejoice because of his birth. Well, not only you get to be happy, but a whole lot of people get to be happy. That's a good message. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his birth. He's going to be a different character. You don't allow him to party. He doesn't get to do any of that. He's going to have a commitment to the Lord that is very particular. And he's from birth. He's going to be spirit-led. He's going to be a different child. Many of the people of Israel will bring, many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of their fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. This verse 16 and 17 are the big deals of this message. This 16 and 17 are the big deals of this message. When you look at what the angel says about John, and when you look at what the message that John is going to be delivering, it is the big deal of the entire chapter. Many of the people of Israel will be will he bring back to the Lord their God. So I'm going to ask you a question. Who can you bring back to the Lord your God? Who can you deliver this message to? Because in this time period, Zechariah knew it. He knew what was going on around him. People weren't coming to the temple. People weren't believing in God. People weren't really saying that God could do wonderful things. They weren't believing at all. Zechariah knew it. That's what he lived with. That's what the period he was in. The conquering of the Romans over the Israelites had created a scenario within them where they just didn't believe that God would take care of them anymore. And I dare say the church is feeling that even today. You go to Europe, and what's the church look like in Europe? It's decimated. People talk about that being what America will be over the course of the next couple of years. It's possible. My question for you is, are you going to be that messenger that John sent, that John was to be? Are you going to be God's messenger today to lead people back to God? Even though he may not have made you fruitful, even though he may have not done something for you that you thought he was supposed to do. 17 is even more powerful. He will go on before the Lord in the spirit of power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. What's the divorce rate in America? 50%. I'm one of those. I didn't get divorced, but my parents divorced. I'm one of those children of divorce. You want to know how many times my father's called me in the last 40 years? Take a flying guess. 40 years, how many times my dad's called me? It happens. It happens. Divorce changes a whole lot within the culture of a family. And sometimes fathers don't want anything to do with what was. Are you going to be called to lead fathers back to their children? Because you know, when people look at God, they look at God as an example of their who? Father. And when we have all these pieces where dads aren't there, children think that God is distant, doesn't talk to them, and doesn't care for them. I'm telling you, I live there. I don't live there now, but I lived there for a long time in my life where I felt that way about God and about my father. John is to be that guy that encourages fathers to get back together with their children and the disobedient to get the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. John was preparing people for Jesus to come. Do you believe that Jesus is coming back? Well, shouldn't we be preparing the way? And as you look at this passage about John, who is this one that is called to prepare the way of the Lord, I encourage you to look at what's going on in the world around you. Yeah, it can feel like there's nothing being done by God, but I'm going to tell you that God notices. Even though Zechariah and Elizabeth were barren, even though they were faithful, God didn't immediately do this thing. It was a time period. But God always noticed. God always knew. But God was waiting for the time to be right to do all that he wanted to do. Now, you think that Zechariah would know better. Okay? You think that Zechariah would know some things about Scripture. Okay? Abraham had a wife whose name was, and Sarah was, for a long time, right? Is there another character in there in that time period that had the same problem? Rachel with? Isaac, right? Isaac, can we get right? Isaac and Rachel, right? Long time, no child. How about Elkanah and Hannah? Do you remember all these older men, older women? God has this pattern. You think that Zechariah would know better, right? No, not really. Verse 18, Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." Bad response to an angel. You see an angel, okay? Just not a good response. And the angel says, "I am Gabriel, I stand in the presence of God. I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news, and now you will be silent." It's the worst thing you could do to a preacher. Just say it, okay? The worst thing you could do to a preacher, okay? Zechariah is a priest. He is now going to be silent, not able to speak until this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. So, Zechariah has been silenced. He comes out. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he had stayed so long in the temple. This wasn't supposed to be a long process. Supposed to walk in, light the incense, and come out. Because if you don't come out, it's a bad thing, okay? It's a bad thing. They take the rope, they pull you out, you know, they bury you somewhere, and then they talk about you for the rest of your life, okay? So, Zechariah was in there a long time, and everybody had kind of gotten through their prayers going, okay, we've done our prayers. This is not normal. What's going on here? They're all standing outside going, and then he comes out, and he can't talk. Got his hands going, he just can't say a word. Now, they realize that something has happened in there, but they have no clue as to what it is. No clue. So Zechariah serves out his time. He heads home. People were waiting for Zechariah, wondering why he had stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but he remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord had done this for me," she said. "In those days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." It was a big deal to her. And for 5 months, she hid. Why? Because she didn't want anything to happen to this precious gift she had been given. She didn't want to get outside, get bumped by people. She wanted, and didn't want anybody to know, because she tried for so long, forever. And she hadn't had a child. And by the way, her husband can't support her in any way, shape, or form. Okay? He's not saying, it'll be all right, dear. He's not saying anything. I mean, he might be writing it down, but he's not saying it. It's a long time. Sometimes you read Scripture, you can't get the full picture of how long something is. Okay? But it takes 9 months for a baby to be baked. Okay? We're talking about a year process here where he's just not talking. And he's not talking because he did something he shouldn't have done. Now, in that process, something else happens. So you've got John the Baptist who is about to be born. You've got Zechariah and them. And all of a sudden, in this process, shows up Mary. Because God is doing something at this time period. He's chosen to prepare John to prepare the way for Jesus. At the same time, Mary shows up. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth town in Galilee. So Gabriel's been busy. He doesn't do anything for thousands of years, and now he shows up. To a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be, but the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." He has to do this all the time. He does. He's got to do it all the time. When he sees people, he's got to say, "Please don't be afraid." And yes, that's what happens. "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and you will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary says, "How will this be? Because I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." She believes. She doesn't have to go through the silent treatment. "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." I love the way she responds. "I am the Lord's servant. You can do this to me." Mary answered, "May it be as you have said." Then the angel left her. So the one that John is to show is in the womb the same time he's in the womb. At that time, Mary got ready, hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is he who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." There's those words that are Mary's song, which I'll leave for another time. No, not that. Okay. So the day comes for the baby to be born. Now, in verse 57, it says, "When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy and shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child and were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, 'No, he is to be called John.'" Now, I want to remind you, somebody's not been talking yet. The baby's been born. Okay? The baby's been born. The baby is 8 days old. I'm imagining the Zechariah's going, "Excuse me. Excuse me, I know I messed up, but we had a deal here." I can imagine that's exactly what's going on, right? But God, in his time, does his things. So he wasn't going to take this private moment where the baby was born to restore Zechariah. He was going to take this public moment when they take that baby and they have that baby circumcised in a holy tradition where everybody comes. And I'm telling you, everybody's coming. And everybody's coming because this baby was not supposed to be. And this baby is a byproduct of that moment when Zechariah was in the temple. And everybody knows, everybody remembers, in the temple, Zechariah was, he couldn't talk, but he was saying things were going to happen. Then they did happen, and now this, and now everybody's here. And they say, what's the child's name going to be? Whose job is that, really? That's dad's job. This is my son. His name is. He's still not talking. Elizabeth says, his name is John. Everybody goes, what? What family member do you have that's named John? We always name our children after somebody we know. What are you talking about? His mother spoke up and said, no, his name will be called John. And they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who has that name. They made signs to the father to find out. I don't know what they were doing with the signs, okay? It's sort of bizarre to me. A piece of paper would have been good here. Writing on the ground might have been better, okay? But they made signs. Maybe he had his own language by this time. They made signs to the father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet. There it is. In everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Immediately, his mouth was open and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe. That's why we waited till this moment. And throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. And I just want you to be reminded, okay, because you know who John the Baptist is, who John the Baptist becomes. But at this moment, John the Baptist is a baby. Okay? He's this big. This is who he is. He's not done a thing yet. But now everybody is going to watch this child grow. They're going to pay attention to him, everything he does. When he goes to school for the first day, they're going to be aware that he's going to school for the first day. They're going to look to see what he does. Okay? When he gets to be a teenager, they're going to look to see what, he's not driving a car, but they're going to look to see what kind of car he drives. Okay? They're going to see if he drinks. They're going to see if he doesn't drink. They're going to see what he does because they know and they believe that something special is here. And I want to remind you that something special is here. Is here. Is here. Is here. Is here. Something special is here. Is here. Because you have all invited Jesus Christ into your heart. You've made him Lord and Savior of your life. The Spirit of God is in you already. You are the messenger that God has delivered to this planet for somebody. There was somebody for me. When I was 13 years old, I was a Roman Catholic. Didn't believe that God existed. And yet, there were girls at the Baptist church. So I went to go play volleyball with the girls at the Baptist church. They had a youth pastor there. I don't even remember his name now, which is a shame. But that's what happens when you get old. I could tell you what car he drove. It was an orange 68 convertible Cutlass, okay? I know because I had a 72 Cutlass S of my own, okay? Now, he said something to me. He said, when you get to heaven, you better not knock very loud. Because I was a cocky little boy, and I didn't know Christ. But he also gave me a Bible. You're close. Your Bible's close to mine. Mine was obviously English, but he gave me a Bible that was about that big. Now, I never invited Christ in my heart when I was at that little Baptist church in Bristol, Connecticut. Never did. But that Bible went with me to college. I can't explain how this happened, okay? But my mother brought me a trunk to go to college. It was this big. Bam, bam, bam. Okay? Brought me a trunk. And for some silly reason, I stuck that Bible in that trunk. Okay? I went through 3 years of college at Rochester Institute of Technology. Not believing God, not going to church, nothing. Okay? Came out as an intern to Douglas Aircraft in my senior year. I met a girl. It's always about a girl. Her daddy was a Southern Baptist pastor. Anybody know Pastor Wiley Drake? You may or may not know, but he's a little crazy. I love him, but he's a little crazy. He's also my father-in-law. Okay? He's run for president. Truly, literally, you can find the ballot. A couple years ago, he ran for president. Okay? Love the man dearly. I don't think the same way he does. But I fell in love with his daughter. Absolutely adored his daughter. And she had a commitment to Christ that I'd never seen before. Because she had a commitment to Christ, I had to find out what this Baptist thing was, religion thing was all about. And don't ask me how it got there, because my trunk didn't come to California with me. But in my car was that Bible that was given to me by the guy when I was 13. So I went to First Baptist of Downey, and I got involved in their youth group. I came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I opened that Bible up, and I read it every day for 3 months until I went from cover to cover. Who knew that a guy with a 68 orange convertible would give me a Bible that would make a difference in my life before I knew Jesus? When I came to know Jesus. You are John the Baptist to somebody. You're that person that is preparing the way of the Lord for somebody. It's somebody who's not saved. It's somebody who needs to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But it also might be somebody that knew God but fell away. Step out. Find those people. Be like John the Baptist. I'm going to leave you with these words from Zechariah. Now, Zechariah hadn't gotten a chance to talk for how long? What? At least a year, right? Do you think he stored up some words that were important? The first words he speaks are here. And if you'll take them in and listen to them, you'll see something amazing in these verses that you can carry as a person who shows somebody the Lord. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Verse 68, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel. That's the first thing out of his mouth. I think that's precious. Because he has come and has redeemed his people. That's what God wants. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he has said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies, from the hand of all who hate us, to show us mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father, Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness into the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. This morning you saw a video from Lottie Moon. You saw a young man and his wife. They are much younger than me. Did they take a mission on? Yeah, they did. Did they know what to do? That was the interesting part of that. Didn't have a clue. And yet, God is doing something in their ministry. Not because they knew, but because they were faithful. You may feel fruitless in the world that you're in. Remain faithful. God will bring the fruit in His time. Enough said. Father God, You are an awesome and mighty God. Lord, I ask that You take these words and embed them in our hearts. Father, fill us as Zechariah was full to give a message to those who are hurting in our world, to give a message to those who fear God, to those who deny God, to those who need God. Help us to be faithful in what we do, that we may see Your fruit in the future. I love You, Lord. I praise You for who You are, and I praise You in Jesus' name.